What is up, everybody, and welcome to the Real Talk Podcast. I am your host, AJ Laster. Let's get the foreplay and get straight into today's episode. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Real Talk Podcast. I want to apologize for the lateness of this episode. I didn't get the chance to record last night, mainly because I injured myself. I really, really, really injured my back, and I couldn't stand the pain, and I was bedridden for most of the night. I took myself a muscle relaxer that was prescribed to me, and I went to bed. But today, I feel a lot better. I feel a little bit better, and I feel like recording this episode today. And today, I'm actually recording on a brand new microphone that actually sounds a lot better than the headset that I used for the last episode. Now, today's episode is a continuation of last week's episode, Project Horror. Part one was for the book series / TV series, Goosebumps. Now, I want to reiterate something. I want to make something clear that I may have forgotten some names for the characters in the books and the movies, and I haven't even learned the name of the characters in the new 2023 series that's on Disney Plus. But eventually I will, but if I messed up any names in the original video, let me know in the messages or leave a comment, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Now, today, part two. Project Horror is going straight into the digital world. And no, I'm not talking about Digimon. Or Pokemon, for that matter. Today, I'm going to talk about a video game series that's dipped in horror, blood, disfigurement, and spirits. A video game series that many gamers have played, done gameplays for, and where one man considers himself the king of this game. Project Horror 2023 continues with today's episode, Five Nights at Freddy's. Now, I haven't played the games. I'll make this clear right now, but I have watched gameplay of other people play this. I watched reaction videos of people, you know, facing the jump scares. I laugh my ass off because of the way they react. I know it's just for the videos. It's for views and for likes and everything else. But in all honesty, and seriously, in all honesty, you would think that that's where it ends, is with the video games. And that's why I'm doing this episode today, is because there's more than just the video games. There is lore. They actually created lore for this video game like they do with most games. Let's take a trip back to the late 70s, early 80s. I do believe the game does take place in the 80s. With the first game, Five Nights at Freddy's, where you play as a character named Mike Schmidt, who just got a job as the night guardman for a pizzeria known as Freddy Fazbear's Pizza. Now, the man on the other side of the phone who leaves a voicemail for you warns you that the animatronics may consider you hostile if they catch you, and they will try and stuff you into one of the suits. Creepy, right? Well, the only way to keep yourself safe is, one, you have to watch them, and you also got to watch your power, or else if you drain all your power, they will get you. And as I said before, they will stuff you in one of those animatronic suits. Now, like I said, I watched the original gameplay. The only one I've actually watched gameplay for was the man, the myth, the legend, the self-proclaimed and the earned title, King of Five Nights at Freddy's, Markiplier. Now, if you want to hear more about Markiplier and Five Nights at Freddy's, I suggest you go to his YouTube channel and look up his Five Nights at Freddy's playlist. And if you want to hear him talk about a tier list, I suggest you go listen to his podcast, Distractable with Bob and Wade. Now, the lore goes is that the owner of Freddy Fazbear's had a weird attraction to children. I'm guessing he had a really, really bad childhood. But anyway, apparently Freddy Fazbear's was just a cover for him to kidnap kids and stuff them into the animatronic suits that, if you put them in the right way, the spring locks, which is what they're called, will allow you to wear the suit and be unharmed. But in a certain way, in a certain different way, if you do it wrong, the spring locks will lock you in and they will disfigure you and most likely kill you. Now, like I said, I watched the self-proclaimed King of Five Nights at Freddy's, the self-proclaimed, and it's actually been recognized. All hail the king. And yes, that was a reference to Evil Dead. But anyway, you watch these gamers play this game, and the best part of it is watching their reactions to the jump scares. I saw a compilation of gamers who have played this first game, and I laughed my ass off. Like, literally, I will laugh my ass off. Now, me, like I said, I was actually introduced to the game back in 2014 when I saw, and this is actually right around the same time I was introduced to Markiplier. My buddy, his sister was watching this, and she introduced me to it because she showed me a video of herself playing the game, and next thing you know, she decided not to play it anymore. I was like, when I saw it, I was like, no, I'm not playing it at all. Boy, do I regret not playing that fucking game. I should have played it. If I ever get the chance and I get a game system, I'm going to try it. Now, let's fast forward to the sequel, or should I say prequel. Five Nights at Freddy's 2 takes place years before the events of the first game. You are a unnamed guard who has taken on a new job at Freddy Fazbear's Pizza. Now, like I said, in this game, you actually got to see toy versions of the animatronics, who I forgot the name here. Freddy himself, Bonnie the Bunny, Chica the Chicken, who looks like a damn duck, and Foxy. Now, thing is, Foxy, I do believe he does show up in the second game, but the one character I cannot fucking stand is that goddamn marionette, where you actually have to crank up this little damn jack-in-the-box to, keep the damn thing asleep. But if you forget, he'll jump off his pedestal and actually come and get you. Now, the toy versions of Freddy, Bonnie, and Chica, they weren't as good-looking as the originals. The originals actually looked pretty creepy on their own. But these toy versions, fuck. Talk about death stares. Like, fuck me. when I, like I said, when I saw this game, I was actually watching, once again, Markiplier play it. If you want to hear more about Five Nights at Freddy's, like I said, go check out Markiplier's YouTube channel. Now, like I said, the stories of the bite of 84, the bite of 82, revolve around, are part of the lore of this game. And my God, do I really, really, really hate the looks of Toy Bonnie and Toy Freddy. Fuck them. Chica, on the other hand, for some damn reason, they made Chica look less like a damn chicken and look more like a Playboy centerfold with a beak. Fuck. Well, luckily they kept it like that, and fuck, the game was such a success that creator Scott Cawthon, I guess, and I want to reiterate, I hope I pronounced his last name right, but anyway, continuing, announced that the third game, Five Nights at Freddy's 3, would be coming out soon. Now, Five Nights at Freddy's 2 actually takes place years later at a new attraction known as Fazbear Frights. That name's going to come up again here shortly. Now, in this game, you only have to deal with one animatronic. You have to deal with Spring Bonnie. Now, Spring Bonnie is a yellow version of Bonnie the Bunny. Bonnie, the original Bonnie the Bunny is purple, by the way, to those who have never played the game at all. Now, what people don't realize is that this Spring Bonnie actually has somebody in it. Spring Bonnie has the body of Fazbear Entertainment founder William Afton, the creepy motherfucker who kidnapped kids, killed them, and stuffed them into animatronics. Now, he ended up getting put into an animatronic himself. He got put into the Spring Bonnie animatronic. Now, to pretty much elaborate here, apparently, if you actually are careful enough, like I said in the beginning, you could wear the suits and actually walk around in them if you put them on right. If you put them on in the wrong way, them damn spring locks will either disfigure you or they will kill you. Now, if you actually played Five Nights at Freddy's 3, good on you. And I'm surprised none of you gamers have actually shit yourselves after playing it. But anyway, in Five Nights at Freddy's 3, you actually just play as the Night Guardsman at Fazbear Frights, and you actually have to survive the night with just one animatronic, and that's Spring Bonnie. Before you realize that Spring Bonnie is actually Spring Trap, with William Afton taking control of the body. Now, the other animatronics do show up in this game. They show up in this game, but they're not real. They're hallucinations. Now, there is a story in the book series, which I will get into here in a moment, that actually shows, or actually tells, of a Night Guardman who is haunted by memories of Fazbear Frights. And like I said, that name is going to come up here soon, too. Now, the fourth game in the series, Five Nights at Freddy's 4, it actually takes a different approach. Instead of playing as a night guardman, the night watchman, you actually take on the role of a small boy who's trying to survive a night in his house with nightmare versions of the characters of Freddy, Bonnie, Chica, and believe it or not, even Golden Freddy, who I didn't even get to say was actually in the first game as a surprise. Golden Freddy's a creepy motherfucker. Yeesh. But anyway, I watched Markiplier play the original Five Nights at Freddy's 4. And with them having their sharp, instead of looking like they usually do with their, you know, their square teeth or anything else like that, these motherfuckers actually had sharp-ass fucking teeth, like sharp-ass teeth on the outside and sharp-ass teeth on the inside. Fuck me. And fuck no. Fuck those games. No, not fuck those games. Fuck those damn animatronics. Fuck them motherfuckers. But thing is, in this game, they actually came with a twist. It turns out that the boy who's trying to survive is actually in the hospital, actually fighting for his life, because he was the victim of the bite of 84, or the bite of 82. And he was in the hospital and he didn't survive. Such a melancholy ending for a horror game. Fuck. And then we got, you know, the pizzeria simulator. We got the, where you actually got to play an RPG version of the game. Fuck. And then, of course, we ended up getting the sister location, where we actually got to see fun time versions of Freddy and Foxy. We got to see ballerina, Ballora, the ballerina, and one of the characters I forgot in the second game was actually Balloon Boy. Balloon Boy, fuck you. You creep me out too with your ugly, with your blank ass stare. But now in this game, you're actually once again a night watchman, and you actually have to survive 5 nights inside this new pizzeria, which I completely forgot the name of before I started this episode. Fuck. But no, seriously, I did forget the name of the fucking restaurant in the fifth main game. Mainline game. Now, for me, I became interested in the series after Sister Location came out and I saw the trailer for it. I'm like, hell yeah. I want to play this fucking game. Like, seriously, I want to play this fucking game. But I couldn't because it was for PC. And, of course, they had a cell phone version of it. And my phone, the phone I had at the time when the game came out, was not big enough for me to, well, play the game. Because I didn't have enough memory space in the damn phone. Fuck. Like I said, I did watch other people play, and I loved the gameplay. I loved the mechanics in this game, and hard to believe that one man created this entire world. And then the book series came out. The first three novels that expanded the lore of Five Nights at Freddy's. In the first one, I mean, they like I said, they got four main books in the series. They got the Silver Eyes, they got the Twisted Ones, and they got the Fourth Closet. Now, in the first book, a group of friends actually survive a night in Freddy Fazbear's Pizza. And they somehow killed William Afton, who was trapped in the Spring Bonnie suit. In the sequel, it goes, it's been a year since the horrific events at Freddy Fazbear's Pizza. And the main character in the first story, Charlie, is just trying to move on. Even with the excitement of a new school and a fresh start, she's still haunted by the nightmares of a mass murderer and four gruesome animatronic puppets. You see where I'm going with this? She thinks her ordeal from that is over until a series of bodies are disturbingly familiar. When a series of bodies are discovered near her school bearing wounds that are disturbingly familiar. She finds herself drawn back into the world of her father's frightening creations. And that is just part of the synopsis from the back of the graphic novel that I actually bought. Now, at this time, I can actually tell you this. My daughter is a big fan of Five Nights at Freddy's. I know there's a bunch of kids out there that are actually playing the games, especially the new one, the most recent one that came out, the Security Breach, and his DLC that just recently came out called Ruin. But when they read, I bet you when these kids read the read these damn books, it probably freaked them out a little bit. Now, in the fourth closet, Charlie dies. Or so it seems. The secrets come out, and it turns out Charlie was actually a clone of the original, of one of William Afton's partners. Daughter. She died at a young age. Now, thing is, one of the characters from the... Actually, no, two characters from the fifth mainline game, the sister location, actually show up in this story. Now, like I said, I've read the graphic novel, two of the three graphic novels of the Five Nights at Freddy's three main stories. But, and I can tell you this, they're actually scary. I actually read them and motherfucker, that was creepy as hell. And after that, I realized that not only did they have a book, three young adult novels, they actually had a book series that's similar to, well, Goosebumps. But in this, that instead of just telling one continuing story, it told three. The book series, and like I said, the title was coming up shortly. The book series was entitled Fazbear Frights. And it told three somewhat gruesome stories to get young kids to get into reading, just like Goosebumps did all the way back in 1992. And to be honest with you, out of the three graphic novels that I have of the Fazbear Frights, only one story actually stuck with me. Actually, two of them. Fetch and the story To Be Beautiful. Now, because the thing is, the story To Be Beautiful is pretty much a story retelling, well, a Five Nights at Freddy's retelling of the saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, or beauty is within the eye of the beholder. A young girl wanted to be beautiful. She wanted to look perfect. And thing is, in the end, it's really gruesome. The girl just straight up turns into junk. Now, like I said, the graphic novels were actually pretty good. When you read them, you feel immersed in the stories. Like I said, the story To Be Beautiful, which is in the graphic, which you can actually read and look in the Graphic Novels Collection Volume 1, you'll see how disturbing the story is. Everything looks to be going the girl's way, and next thing you know, she turns into straight junk. because her body parts were replaced with junk. Because the animatronic robot thing told her not to take the necklace off. Which she made a mistake and it actually fell off. Now, part 4 is supposed to come out in December. And sorry for the slamming door, one of my kids came in here. Volume 4 is supposed to come out in December, and I'm going to get it when it comes out, and I'm going to check it out. I might do a review video on TikTok, or actually start up my YouTube channel and do a review on it. Now, I haven't read any of the Fazbear Frights books, but I know for a fact that the book series left an impact on young adults and kids alike. Now, they do have another book series called Tales from the Pizzaplex that's a continuation of the books, pretty much the video game series Security Breach. Now, Security Breach is actually a mainline game where they create the Freddy Fazbear Pizzaplex. Now, like I said, I've actually watched the gameplay for it, too. It looked pretty good, but it still had a lot of bugs in it. Now, when I watched the gameplay, which was played by Markiplier, it actually looked pretty good. But like I said, there was a bunch of bugs and glitches that would actually make you laugh out loud. Like, literally. Like, I would literally laugh my ass off watching these damn glitches, especially the damn animatronics doing, like, glitching break dances. I mean, fuck. But then again, they did release Ruin just recently. I haven't watched it yet, but I do intend on watching it when I get the chance. And thing is, over the years, when Five Nights at Freddy's actually came out, a lot of people were speculating. Just like every other video game that came before it, when was this video game series gonna get the big screen treatment? Now, the movie itself had been in development hell until they finally found a writer and director for it and stars for the movie. The filming began about a couple years back, and fans are gonna get what they wished for. Because as of this recording, the movie Five Nights at Freddy's actually releases this Friday. The thing is, it not only releases in theaters, but it's also going to be simultaneously released on Peacock on October 27th. And you can bet your sweet ass that I'm going to be watching that damn movie when it comes out. Me and my daughter. But until then, we still have the video games. We still have videos of gamers like Markiplier and Jacksepticeye and Corey Kenshin, who, by the way, he's going to be in that movie, so I would check it out just for, especially if you want to see a YouTuber actually get killed by Freddy. But I'm going to watch the movie because, to be honest with you, I'm a big fan of horror. And I know I didn't get too much into the lore of Five Nights at Freddy's because I mainly wanted to talk about the games and the books and the upcoming movie that's coming out this Friday. Now, I will, after this episode is done recording and everything else, I will be reading up on the lore of this series. And, I think when the movie comes out, I think we are all in store for some real Fazbear Frights. The only problem I saw with the trailer was that the animatronics had yellow eyes. And I hate to reiterate this. The animatronics do not have red or yellow eyes. They're white, damn it. And to be honest with you, I'm pretty sure a bunch of fans pointed that out and were pissed off about it. But I'm pretty sure that the final product, when the movie does release this Friday, they're probably going to rectify it and their eyes will not be yellow or red. Now, if you have a Peacock subscription like I do, if you don't want to spend money on a movie ticket, I suggest going to see, I suggest sitting at home in front of your TV, get you some popcorn ready, and get ready for some real Fazbear Frights. Now, when it comes out. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. If you don't, what the hell's wrong with you? I mean, hell, you guys have been asking for a Five Nights at Freddy's movie, and you're finally getting it. You're finally going to get what you want. Maybe this movie will actually break the video game curse of video games being adapted into movies. If you watch video game movies to see if it follows the plot of the actual game, then what's the point of you watching a movie in the first place? If you want storytelling of them retelling the entire first game, then I suggest you go play the original game on your PCs, on Xbox, on PlayStation, wherever. Or hell, even play it on your damn phone. Because to be honest with you, if the game comes out for you to turn out better than the movie, that's your opinion. That's your opinion. That's like, literally, that's your opinion. And like I said, this is probably going to be the shortest episode I do, because, like I said, there's not much to talk about. Because, like I said, Five Nights at Freddy's came out in 2014 or 2015. I can't remember. I'll look it up, and in the next episode, I will let you know if I was right or wrong. You watch video game movies because you actually get to see your favorite characters come to life. I mean, for fuck's sake. I actually own only one video game movie, and that's the Uncharted movie. And I know it doesn't follow the plot of the fucking games. I'm just happy to see Nathan Drake and Sully on the big screen. Or how about the fact that you guys strong-armed a damn studio into redoing Sonic the Hedgehog, making him look right. Now that I will actually agree with, because you know, the Sonic in the original trailers was more nightmare fuel than Five Nights at Freddy's, I can tell you that. Fuck. But to be honest with you, if you love the video, if you love a horror game, if you love to see a horror game be adapted into a movie, get behind whatever studio is behind it and make sure that they're doing the story right. Because if they're not doing the story right, then what's the point of them creating a movie version of it? I mean, for fuck's sake, you want to bitch about the movies. Because I know I'm getting a little sidetracked here of what I was trying to say. When you want to see a movie done right, get involved. don't strong arm them, just get involved. You want to see the movie done right? But show them how the video game's supposed to be. Let them play the damn game themselves and let them get a feel for it. Let them read the lore like I'm going to after this episode is done. Now, with that being said, let me get back on track. I love the games. I do intend on playing them when I get the chance. I am planning on launching a video game reaction channel on YouTube. And I'm also thinking about starting a gaming channel on YouTube to do video games like Five Nights at Freddy's. I might do the entire series. I might do them out of order. I don't know. Let me just tell you this. I love horror. And Five Nights at Freddy's is the type of Fazbear frights that I can get behind. Because I was reintroduced to them thanks to my daughter. Because she loves, like I said earlier in this episode, she loves Five Nights at Freddy's. The main person she watches playing that game is the same guy I watched playing it. Markiplier. If I play it and I'm actually pretty good at it and I survive, you might as well just Markiplier, you might as well get ready to hand that crown over to me. No, I'm just fucking with you. I'm fucking with everybody. I don't want the crown. He's the king of Five Nights at Freddy's. Everybody knows it. But I wouldn't mind playing the game myself. And I would love my daughter to sit there and watch me play it. I would love to have my son sit there and watch me play it. Hell, I'll even sit there and let my daughter play it once and get her reaction on it. Now, when the movie comes out this Friday, me and her are going to be watching it. And I hope everybody is either at a movie theater watching this movie on the big screen, or they're at home watching it on their TVs on Peacock. We're getting the Five Nights at Freddy's movie we wanted. Let's give Universal a chance to not screw this up. Or we'll give them something to be scared of. And I'm not talking about stuffing them into an animatronic. An evil animatronic. And watching how disfigured and how creepy they can truly look. Now, since I'm done talking about it, I'm going to end this episode outright. I do appreciate you guys so much. To anybody who listens. Anybody who listens to this show, I appreciate you. If you want to introduce your friends to me, I suggest the first episode I want you to introduce them to probably would be the first Project Horror episode I did, which was on Tales from the Crypt. You do it. You can either do that, or you can introduce them to the Super Saiyans and Zombies, or you can introduce them to my very first YouTube profile on VivziPop, who does Has-Been Hotel and Hell of a Boss. Now, I'm going to end this episode with a final thought, which is rare that I do for a Project Horror episode. Five Nights at Freddy's, I could tell you this. When I was first introduced to it, yeah, I was a little creeped out by the animatronics. They were ugly as hell back then. Nowadays, I think they look pretty cool. Fuck. especially in Five Nights at Freddy's 4 with their sharp-ass freaking teeth. That looks creepy as hell. Now, like I said, Fazbear Frights is going to be around for a while. This is the kind of frights that can actually scare your kids and actually scare them in a good way. It'll scare them in a good way, but at least it will get them to start reading. And I can tell you this, the books are a gateway to their first iteration of horror. And if you can't buy them the books, go to your local Walmart or go to Amazon or anything like that. Order the books, order the graphic novels, and let your kids read. Yeah, I'm actually ending it on a soft note here. Because, let's be honest, reading can be fun. Especially if you want to get scared. And that's it for this episode of the Real Talk Podcast. I have been your host, AJ Laster. And this coming Saturday will be a... And this is going to be the first time I'll actually do a preview of the next episode. The next episode, I will be talking... I'll do another YouTube profile. This time, on one of my favorite YouTube channels, Team 4 Star, as they celebrate their 15th anniversary. This is it for Project Horror of the Real Talk Podcast. I'll see you guys in the next episode. Peace out, everybody. Podcast officially out.